Today is the 29th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is wonderful to be here with you today. It's wonderful. Wonderful. This is a wonderful place to be on any given day as we gather around the global campfire. And so glad that we can have some more time. What a gift that we can have this time together. Isn't it? It is for me. It's what a gift that we can have this time together. And I'm excited for us to take the next step forward. We have been working day by day, step by step through Job. And just kind of dealing with human suffering and thinking about our own lives and the things that we face. Listening to Job's friends and hearing the echoes of things that have been said to us and things that we've been said. And Job is just deeply committed to what he thinks is impossible, that he might find God, that he might be able to talk to God directly, because human wisdom is failing and is coming up short. So let's continue with the dialogue. As we begin today, Job is still speaking. He was speaking all of yesterday's reading. He continues to speak today. Job chapters 31, 32, and 33 today. I have made an agreement with my eyes. Then how can I look with lust at a virgin? What would God above do to me? What would be my inheritance from the Almighty on high? Aren't there catastrophes for wicked people and disasters for those who do wrong? Doesn't he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with lies, or my feet have run after deception, then let God weigh me on honest scales, and he will know I have integrity. If my steps have left the proper path, or my heart has followed the desire of my eyes, or my hands are stained with sin, then let someone else eat what I have planted, and let my crops be uprooted. If I have been seduced by a woman, or I have secretly waited near my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind for another man, and let other men kneel over her. That would be a scandal, and that would be a criminal offense. It would be a fire that burns even in Abaddon. It would uproot my entire harvest. If I have abused the rights of my servants, male or female, when they have disagreed with me, then what could I do if God rises up? If he examines me, how could I answer him? Didn't he who made me in my mother's belly make them? Didn't the same God form us in the womb? If I have refused the requests of the poor, or made a widow's eyes stop looking for help, or have eaten my food alone without letting the orphan eat any of it, from my youth the orphan grew up with me as though I were his father. And from my birth I treated the widow kindly. If I have seen anyone die because he had no clothes, or a poor person going naked, if his body didn't bless me, or the wool from my sheep didn't keep him warm, if I have shaken my fist at an orphan because I knew that others would back me up in court, then let my shoulder fall out of its socket, and let my arm be broken at the elbow. A disaster from God terrifies me. In the presence of his majesty, I can do nothing. If I put my confidence in gold or said to fine gold, I trust you. If I enjoyed being very rich because my hand had found great wealth, if I saw the light shine or the moon move along in its splendor so that my heart was secretly tempted and I threw them a kiss with my hand, then that too would be a criminal offense. And I would have denied God above. If I enjoyed the ruin of my enemy or celebrated when harm came to him, even though I didn't speak sinfully by calling down a curse on his life, if the people who were in my tent had said, "We wish we had never filled our stomachs with his food," the visitor never spent the night outside because I opened my door to the traveler. If I have covered my disobedience like Adam and kept my sin to myself because I dreaded the large, noisy crowd and because the contempt of the local mobs terrified me so that I kept quiet and didn't go outside, if only I had someone who would listen to me. Look, here is my signature. Let the Almighty answer me. Let the prosecutor write his complaint on a scroll. I would certainly carry it on my shoulder and place it on my head like a crown. I would tell him the number of my steps and approach him like a prince. If my land has cried out against me and its furrows have wept, if I have eaten its produce without paying for it and made its owners breathe their last, then let it grow thistles instead of wheat, and foul-smelling weeds instead of barley. This is the end of Job's words. These three men stopped answering Job, because Job thought he was righteous. Then Elihu, son of Barakel, a descendant of Buz from the family of Ram, became very angry with Job because Job thought he was more righteous than God. Elihu was also very angry with Job's three friends because they had found no answer. They made it look as if God were wrong. Elihu waited as they spoke to Job because they were older than he was. When Elihu saw that the three men had no further responses, he became very angry. So Elihu, son of Barakel, the descendant of Buz, replied to Job, "I am young and you are old. That's why I refrained from speaking and was afraid to tell you what I know. I thought age should speak and experience should teach wisdom. However, there is in humans a spirit, the breath of the Almighty that gives them understanding. People do not become wise merely because they live long. They don't understand what justice is merely because they're old. That is why I say, listen to me. Let me tell you what I know. I waited for you to speak. I listened for you to share your understanding until you could find the right words. I've paid close attention to you, but none of you refuted Job. None of you has an answer to what he says. So don't say, 'We've found wisdom.' Let God, not humans, defeat him. Job did not choose his words to refute me, so I won't answer him with your speeches." Job's friends have been overwhelmed and don't have any more answers. They don't have another word to say. Should I wait because they don't speak? Because they stand there and don't have any more answers? I'll give my answer. I'll tell you what I know. I'm full of words. The spirit within me forces me to speak. My belly is like a bottle of wine that has not been opened, like new wineskins that are ready to burst. I must speak to get relief. I must open my mouth and answer. I won't be partial toward anyone or flatter anyone. I don't know how to flatter. If I did, my maker would soon carry me away. Please, Job, listen to my words and consider everything I say. I've opened my mouth. The words are on the tip of my tongue. My words are straight from the heart, and I sincerely speak the knowledge that is on my lips. God's Spirit has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Answer me if you can. Present your case to me and take your stand. Indeed, I stand in front of God as you do. I too was formed from a piece of clay. You certainly don't need to be terrified of me. I won't put too much pressure on you. But you spoke directly to me, and I listened to your words. You said, 'I'm pure, without any rebellious acts against God. I'm clean. I have no sin. God is only looking for an excuse to attack me. He considers me his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks and watches all my paths.' You aren't right about this. I've got an answer for you. God is greater than any mortal. Why do you quarrel with him since he doesn't answer any questions? God speaks in one way, even in two ways, without people noticing it. In a dream, a prophetic vision at night when people fall into a deep sleep, when they sleep on their beds, he opens people's ears and terrifies them with warnings. He warns them to turn away from doing wrong and to stop being arrogant. He keeps their souls from the pit and their lives from crossing the river of death. In pain on their sickbeds, they are disciplined with endless aching in their bones so that their whole being hates food and they lose their appetite for a delicious meal. Their flesh becomes so thin that it can't be seen. Their bones, not seen before, will be exposed. Their souls approach the pit. Their lives come close to those already dead. If they have a messenger for them, a spokesman, one in a thousand, to tell people what is right for them, then he will have pity on them and say, "Free them from going into the pit. I have found a ransom." Then their flesh will become softer than a child's. They will go back to the days of their youth. They will pray to God who will be pleased with them. They will see God's face and shout for joy as he restores their righteousness. Each one sings in front of other people and says, "I sinned and did wrong instead of what was right, and it did me no good. The messenger has freed my soul from going into the pit, and my life will see the light." Truly, God does all this two or three times with people to turn their souls away from the pit and to enlighten them with the light of life. Pay attention, Job. Listen to me. Keep quiet and let me speak. If you have a response, answer me. Speak, because I'd be happy if you were right. If not, you listen to me. Keep quiet and I'll teach you wisdom. Second Corinthians 3. Do we have to show you our qualifications again? Do we, like some people, need letters that recommend us to you or letters from you that recommend us to others? You're our letter of recommendation, written in our hearts that everyone knows and reads. It's clear that you are Christ's letter, written as a result of our ministry. You are a letter written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, a letter written not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Christ gives us confidence about you in God's presence. By ourselves, we are not qualified in any way to claim that we can do anything. Rather, God makes us qualified. He has also qualified us to be ministers of a new promise, a spiritual promise, not a written one. Clearly, what was written brings death, but the Spirit brings life. The ministry that brought death was inscribed on stone, yet it came with such glory that the people of Israel couldn't look at Moses' face. His face was shining with glory, even though that glory was fading. Won't the ministry that brings the Spirit have even more glory? If the ministry that brings punishment has glory, then the ministry that brings God's approval has an overwhelming glory. In fact, the ministry that brings punishment lost its glory because of the superior glory of the other ministry. If that former ministry faded away despite its glory, how much more does that ministry which remains continue to be glorious? Since we have confidence in the new promise, we speak very boldly. We are not like Moses. He kept covering his face with a veil. He didn't want the people of Israel to see the glory fading away. However, their minds became closed. In fact, to this day, the same veil is still there when they read the Old Testament. It isn't removed, because only Christ can remove it. Yet even today, when they read the books of Moses, a veil covers their minds. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. This Lord is the Spirit. Wherever the Lord's Spirit is, there is freedom. As all of us reflect the Lord's glory with faces that are not covered with veils, we are being changed into His image with ever-increasing glory. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and unjust people. You are my fortress, O God. Why have you rejected me? Why must I walk around in mourning while the enemy oppresses me? Send your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain and to your dwelling place. Then let me go to the altar of God, to God, my highest joy, and I will give thanks to you on the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you so discouraged, my soul? Why are you so restless? Put your hope in God, because I will still praise Him. He is my Savior and my God. Proverbs 22, 8 and 9. Whoever plants injustice will harvest trouble, and this weapon of his own fury will be destroyed. Whoever is generous will be blessed, because he has shared his food with the poor. Okay, so we had a fairly short reading in 2 Corinthians today that packs a punch, because the implications, I mean, when we understand what Paul's actually saying here, the implications of the gospel become really clear. And so Paul was discussing veils today, and he's using that example of veil, and we know what a veil is, right? You put a veil over your face, like a bride. She has a veil over her face when she walks down the aisle. So we know what a veil is. And so Paul is contrasting the Mosaic law and the redemptive work of Christ to fulfill it. And he goes back to the early stories that we've read as we began our year. He goes back to the origin stories. He goes back to Moses, because this is where the law flowed from, and so this is where the allegiance is. He goes back to Moses and says, look, here's the story, though. Like, if we go back to our own text, here's the story. God wanted to speak to his people around the mountain, and they were terrified of him speaking to them. And so they told Moses, you go up the mountain and you hear from God and you come back and tell us what God has to say. And then we will obey you. You be the mouthpiece for God. So the invitation was this direct interaction. They chose this prophetic voice, Moses. Moses went into the presence of God, but when he came back down the mountain, his face was glowing from being in the presence of God, which freaked all of the people out. And so Moses would put this veil over his face to cover his face. And he would look through the veil and see the people, and the people would look at him and see the veil. And Paul is essentially saying, yeah, and we've been looking through the veil ever since. Paul says it like this, and I quote, their minds became closed. In fact, to this day, the same veil is still there when they read the Old Testament, when they read the Torah, the law. It isn't removed, because only Christ can remove it. So let's just remember where Paul is always going. We learned a lot about this when we were reading through the letter to the Romans. Paul's conviction is that the Mosaic law, which is what governs the people trying to figure out how to obey those commands, that is a good thing, and that it's a valuable thing. It's just a mispurposed thing. The law shows our failures. It reveals our transgressions. It shows us that we have stepped over the line into sin. It leads to death because the only thing that it shows is our repeated pathway to death by transgressing the law. So it's a good thing because it shows that, but the only thing that it ever shows is that we're going in the wrong direction, a direction that's moving away from righteousness before God. Paul's arguing Jesus fulfills all of this. His redemptive work, his willing sacrifice, shows us the path to be free from the failure and become righteous before God, not in our own strength, not in anything that we could do, not in adhering to a law or a set of ethics or rules or philosophies, by just realizing that he wants to set you free. You are entangled and he wants to set you free. Just believe him. And then Paul describes what happens, like what will happen if we would just believe him. And it brings us to a very famous passage. And so I quote, "Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. This Lord is the Spirit. Wherever the Lord's Spirit is, there is freedom." Now, this is a famous passage of scripture. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so we pass that around in kind of all sorts of applications. And that, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying the context here, the freedom that we're talking about here is the freedom to open our eyes and see that we are free. And then walk into the freedom. Believe that it's done. Believe that all those commandments that we can never measure up to have been fulfilled. We can't do it. But God came. God came to fulfill that for us. In Jesus, we are free. And not just free like anytime we're visiting the Middle East and somewhere near wherever Paul was whenever he said this. Like free wherever we are forever, wherever we ever may be. If there is freedom wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, and we turn ourselves to Psalm 139 and read, "I can never escape from your Spirit. I can never escape your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go to the grave, you're there." Then we realize freedom is available now and always. What we need is eyes to see it and a willingness to live into it. And that is the good news. And that is indeed good news. But that's not all the news. That's not all the implications. And so Paul fleshes this out more. He says, look, as all of us reflect the Lord's glory with faces that are not covered with veils, we are being changed into his image with ever increasing glory. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Okay, the implications of what Paul's saying, my brothers and sisters, is that when we open up, when the veil is removed and we can see things as they are, through like see the things the way God is seeing things, and we enter into that, we give ourselves fully to that, then transformation is taking place. And that doesn't mean transformation so we're not so irritable. Yes, I mean, all of these things, but it's way bigger than that. Like, okay, all these little hard parts of my life will get shaved off. It's bigger than that. We're being changed into the image and likeness of God. Whew, that's a big sentence. Now, I'm not saying we're being transformed into God, that one day, if we keep on this road, we'll be God. I'm saying that the plan was always that we would be in his image, that we would be his partners, that we would collaborate, that we would be in a relationship, that it would be an adventure, that life is to be lived. And this portion of our existence as humans is so short. We're supposed to be revealing God by being transformed into his image or likeness. Christ-like. Like Christ. we're supposed to live into it. It's supposed to transform us. And as we were reading yesterday, that transformation should give off an aroma, the aroma of Christ, wherever we go. We have been given permission to be ourselves, free, fully engaged heart, mind, and will, walking in collaboration with God in this world. This is the offer of the gospel. Like, this is the good news. And that we will continually be transformed. May we remember what's going on here. We get sidestepped by the world all the time. It's a cloud over us, pulling us in every kind of direction. And then there's all the spiritual anxiety about whether or not we're getting this right. Whether we follow the recipe well enough for God to actually hear us and maybe even come help. It's bigger than this, friends. He has come, and we are free. May we experience it today. And Jesus, we love you. Now, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see. Remove the veil. Let us see what's happening here. And may we leave behind all of the dead weight so that we can run with freedom into your arms and live that way forever. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That's home base, and that is where you can find out what's going on around here. So check it out. You can check out the Daily Audio Bible app. That does everything that I'm talking about, that the website does, and a lot more. That can be found at the app store that works with your device. It's free and does a lot more than websites. Check it out. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. That is one of the categories in the website or on the app. And there are categories in the shop that have a number of resources in them for the journey that we are on. Yeah, like check out everything from the Daily Audio Bible journal and things to journal with all the way through to the Wind Farm coffee and boutique tea that we roast fresh up in the mountains and send fresh right to your door. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what we're doing here, showing up for each other around the global campfire each day and taking another step forward in our lives, if that is life-giving to you, thank you humbly. Thank you profoundly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. And I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is a message for Agent of Grace, who phoned in today, 23rd of August. You're having problems with your marriage. And your husband's alcoholism is affecting you and the family. Just phoning in to say that I hear you. And I walk your walk. And after 32 years of marriage, I am still loving the sinner, but hating the sin. Love the man, hate the bottle. And just praying that you would have strength and that God would give you comfort and that you would know friendships outside of your husband's friendship, and that godly couples would surround you and give you strength and give you friendships that you're missing with your husband. That is what I have. I made some lovely friends in the church, couples who walk with God and who love one another, and it makes me fierce jealous and it makes me sad that I don't have it, but I know that God is with me and my children understand why I stay. My kids are grown up now, 30 plus and 26, so it's a lot easier with grown children, but they've grown up with an alcoholic father, and they understand how difficult it is. So, love you, praying for you. Thank you.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible family. This is beloved Cheryl in Tacoma, Washington. Today is Thursday, August 24th, and I had called in 2 months ago for prayers for my mother, whom I thought was on her way to heaven. She went into the emergency room severely dehydrated, and she has a lot of other health problems, and it was not looking good. I know many of you prayed, and she got into a nursing home, and she has been doing pretty good. She's eating a little bit more, and things have been looking good. She's stable. Her mind is not well, but she is stable and seems happy where she's at. And now my stepdad has decided he doesn't want to pay for it anymore. He's only paid for 2 months and he has the money. He just has decided he doesn't want to pay for it anymore and he wants to bring her home. And he is an alcoholic and not a good caregiver, and this is not a good situation. And I live over an hour away. Just please pray for my mother, Judy, and that I need a miracle. I need a miracle, something to happen here so that she can stay well cared for. Thank you. I love you all and pray for you. Thank you.
Good morning, my fellow divers. My name is Lovelyn and I'm calling from France. Today is the 25th August 2023. I started listening last year, but it's my first time calling in to pray for people. But I've been praying in the background for every prayer point that I've been released here. I want us to be rest assured that this family is praying. Even if we didn't call in, we are praying. We are with our fellow families with prayer, every prayer point that has been shared here. I prayed, and so do I believe that other people are praying. And today, sister calling that she's in a financial situation, her battery, her car battery is bad. I couldn't get the name. I'm not too good with names. And sister, I want you to know that you're not in this alone. The Bible said in the book of Deuteronomy 8:18 that it is He that gives us power to make wealth. So it is God that gives us power, gives us idea, gives us knowledge. And I know that same God is speaking to you right now on a way forward. It might look as if it's a closed door, but God is right there with you, making a way. Just listen. He will speak on a way out. And I want to join my faith with you and every other people that are in this situation, praying that that same God, this God, will make a way for us financially. When it seems that it's casting down, He will be there whispering to us that there is a lifting up, because He's a God that never fails. And for the second sister that called that she needs to move to her mother's house, I'm with you in prayer, sister. Be encouraged in the Lord. And this same God will not abandon you. For all our followers.
Hello, DAB family. My name is Sibadi from Lesotho. You can call me Kingdom Girl because I am from the kingdom of Lesotho and I'm in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. This morning I want to pray for Chelsea. a 30-year-old mom, a wife and a nurse, I think that's what she said, who has suffered two miscarriages in the past, and she is now pregnant. Hallelujah. First of all, I want to congratulate you, and I thank God that you're going to hold that baby. I understand your fears. I understand your fears and your anxiety, but the Bible says with prayers and supplications, may all our requests be made unto the Lord. So this is why we are here together as a family, to make our supplications and our needs to be known unto God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Chelsea, oh God. We thank you for a healthy pregnancy that she has had. We thank you, my name, that kids are the... are your blessings, oh God. Father, I thank you for the fruit of the womb, Mwanamdumwaga, and I thank you, Mwanamdumwaga, that you shall give her peace that surpasses humanly understanding, even in the midst of anxiety and all fears that she might face. You are still God, and there is none like you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, DAB family. I love this podcast with all of my heart. Oh my God. And I love you all. I love you all.